Good morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we are going to be learning Rus Perek Beis, the second chapter of the book of Ruth. We are now looking at this chapter of 23 Psukim, and it is a narrative. The focus is in the field, that's the setting for this. So we know that Naomi and Rus have arrived back in Beis Lechem. They are impoverished, they have nothing to eat. Rus volunteers to go out and go to the fields. In fact, we're told that there is a person in her family, she's Mudala Ish, she's connected to a person whose name is Boaz, who's from the family of Elimelech. Ruth goes and says, I'm going to go collect in the fields. She's doing what poor people do. She's degrading herself on behalf of her mother-in-law in order that they have something to eat. And it turns out that it says, Vayikra Mikreha, it just happened to be that she enters the field of Boaz, who's from her in-law's family. And as happens to be that day, he walks into the field and there's a whole greeting he gives to his kotsrim, to his reapers, Hashem Imachem, Vayirulo Yivarech Hashem. They respond to him, and he looks around and he says, "You know, who is Lemia Nara? You know, will you tell me a little bit about this young lady?" And the Nara explains. The young man, his foreman, tells him that she's a Nara Moavia. She's a Moabite woman, and she came back with Naomi, and she says she's been doing this all day long. And most of the Mefarshim say this is a positive. She's shiftob bevayis ma'at. She's not spending time, you know, schmoozing around or hanging out or flirting. She seems to be doing her job and just doing what she wants. So Boaz goes over to Rus and he says, "You know, my daughter, I've heard what you've done for in your family. You should stay. Don't go to any other fields. You should stay with me in my field, and I will make sure that you will not be abused in any way. Nobody's going to take advantage of you. You should feel free to take drinks and to eat over here, and you should be well and continue to collect here." She responds and she bows down, she prostrates herself, and she says, "Why am I so special? I'm a foreigner after all." And Boaz says, "You know, I've been told what you've done for your mother-in-law, after your deceased husband. You left everything behind, everything you knew from days beforehand. And Hashem should pay back your what you've done for other people. Hashem should give you blessing because you came to rest under Hashem's wings." Asher tbos latach asoyes tachas kanofov. And she says, "You know, thank you so much. I feel so." She thanks him. And so ultimately, that's what ends up happens. He actually gives her to eat with the kotzrim, with his employees, not just the poor people. And he gives her a gift of more grain, and she carries on, and she comes home, and she arrives home, and clearly Naomi sees that she's collected more than the amount that she would on a regular day, and she asks her what has happened, and Ruth relates the whole story, and he tells him, and Naomi's response is quite remarkable. She's Baruch Hu Ala Hashem, let him be blessed to God, Asher Loi Azav Chastoy Asachayim Vezamezim, who did not leave his kindness for the living and for the deceased. And she explains that he is a Migo Aleinu, he has the potential to redeem us. This is referring to at least the field that was sold because of poverty, and maybe he can redeem that field. And that's what happens, is that Naomi instructs her to continue in the field. That's what she does. She does it until the end of the barley harvesting, into the wheat harvesting season. That is our perek. So we have this episode unfold. We have this conversation, this drama unfolding. A few points to ponder as we consider this text that we know well. Just a very small point, but this is very, very important to the we'll call the larger context, is that when Boaz arrives, what's this whole business with his greeting? If you go to Pasuk Dalet and Hey, if there's this whole business, he comes in and he says, Hashem Imachem, and they respond, Yivarechecha Hashem, what's going on over here? So the Malbim says a remarkable thing, quoting the Gemara, that this is the time of Shvot HaShoftim, the times of the judges being judged. There was a lot of corruption in society. A lot of people who were interested in expressing their own power and taking advantage of others. And it was during this critical time that Boaz realized that one of the ways to fix things up is to introduce the language of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives. And this had been nixed beforehand, because ultimately people would use Hashem's name in inappropriate places. They would greet each other in the restroom or in places which were uncovered, and it would be inappropriate. So that's why it was not done up till now. But Boaz said, "You know what, I'm going to take that risk, because once you start bringing Hashem, once you bring God language into your life, you start thinking about God a little more." What a fascinating perspective in terms of the broader society. Another question. What is the actual significance of this narrative? What's the point of this perek? If you just say in one line what this is, and I think that it comes down to Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel is really important. It says that she comes to the field, Vayikher Mikreha Chelkas Asadeh LeBoaz. She happens to chance upon the field of Boaz. And that's one of the ironies. That's one of the, we'll call it, dramatic ironies that the text is giving us. It was not Vayikher Mikreha. It was not happenstance that she happened to be in the field of the Goalenu, of the person who's the Redeemer. That's precisely the, so to speak, the satire of the text is telling us that it may have looked to Ruth at that time, it may have looked to Boaz at that time, that this was a mikre, a happenstance. But no, if he had not had a chance to see her, to meet her, to see her and inquire about her, later on when she makes a bid for marriage, he would not be willing whatsoever. But there's now context. This lays the stage for the continuation of the story, and this is by anything but chance. Who is Boaz? This is an important question. Who is Boaz, and what does it mean? He's muda leish, leisha. That somehow is connected to Elimelech. So the truth is that we're talking about the descendants of a person by the name of Nachshon ben Aminadav from the tribe of Yehuda. He was the Nasi. He was famously the person who jumped into the Yamsuf first and initiated, catalyzed the split. And out of his generations, we have these three siblings, these three brothers who are connected to each other, and one is Elimelech, one is Salmon, and one is Pliny Almoni. Those are the three. Elimelech disappears and dies. Salmon has a child whose name is Boaz. That's who we're talking about now. So as Rashi explains, which means to say that the reason why this is significant is that Elimelech is one step removed, is the nephew of Elimelech, but ultimately he is not the closest. Pliny Almoni, the brother of Elimelech, is one step closer, which we'll see as we get to Perek Dalet. One thing which is worthwhile now over here is looking at the word muda. Muda comes from the word yada, which we usually translate as no, but actually in Tanakh it usually means connected. So Boaz is muda li'isha, but if you look at this word carefully, in the actual text of the Megillah, it is a kri or an aksiv, meaning it is written meida, mem yud dalad aleph ayin, and it is read muda. So actually, the way it's written is a question almost. Mida, is he connected? And that's exactly the question this perek is raising: is he connected? Does he care enough about his father's brother's family? That's the question on the table. And this perek and the following parakim are going to unpack that question. Is he moida or is he meida? Is he yet, does he know, or is he connected to this family as well, as it happens? We see silence. You know, Naomi and Ruth come to town, he knows about them, but he doesn't seem to be doing anything necessarily. And this is part of what makes it difficult. Why has he not reached out to them up till now? Well, one reason is because it seems that there might be a curse related to Elimelech. After all, he died, his sons died, maybe nobody wants to touch them with a barge pole. Another reason that could be possible, says Rav Yehoshua Bachrach, is that maybe because she is a Moabite, Lo Sidrosh Shlomam V'Tovasom Kol Yimechol Olam. The Pasuk in Devarim, Perek Chof Gimel, tells us that we should not search out their Shalom. Maybe he doesn't want to get involved over here. And that's what's happening. What is interesting is that she herself accentuates this. Later on, when he asks her, and he gives her all this offer, she says, Madur Matzasichem Be'enecho La'akireni, why do you recognize me? V'anochi Nochriya, I'm a foreigner. In a certain sense, she's bringing up the fact that she is different, that she is a foreigner. Maybe that's why he's ignored her up till now. But perhaps, maybe subconsciously, there's a rebuke here. She says, you know what? He says, maybe you've treated me like a foreigner. Maybe you ought to have thought more carefully about the rejected, impoverished family that you have in town that you did not speak to up till now. So it could be a description, but it could also be a rebuke as well. And his response is a little funny to that notion of her describing that she is foreign. He says, no, you've done such great kindness. Your payment should be in full because you come to rest under the wings of Hashem. In a certain sense, what he's saying to her is using the same language as describing Avraham Avinu. Abraham, our patriarch, took this journey himself. He went the distance. He became the first monotheistic principled person to teach it to others. So he's, in a certain sense, he's saying, you are legitimate. But you know what he isn't saying? He isn't saying, I'm going to do anything about it. He's saying, you are legitimate. You should marry an Israelite. But he does, like Avraham Avinu, but he doesn't do anything. Why? Why does he not pull the trigger? He understands. It's his family. She's a good person. She's doing what's right. She's proactive. So why is he not jumping into action? This is a very difficult thing. In fact, Yalkut Shimoni says that it takes 3 months between Perek Beis and Perek Gimel when action is actually taken. Why does it take 3 months? The Malbim says maybe he was waiting 3 months to see if, in fact, her inspiration of becoming an Israelite is, in fact, going to be long-lasting. Maybe this was just a burst of euphoria, an epiphany, and it's going to disappear tomorrow, so maybe he wants to give her a chance. But there's another possibility, and that is that if you read the Gemara in Bava Basra, Tzadi Aleph Mu'alef, which attributes him being the Shofet Ivtzan, the Gemara tells us that ultimately that he had 30 sons and 30 daughters, and they passed away. They passed away. He had a lot of problems in his family, and if that's the case, maybe in his own tragedy, in the wake of his own tragedy, he perhaps was a little more hesitant about starting again. He was so badly burnt, which means there's a double set of tragedy. His suffering and their suffering, and they can't help each other yet because they're suffering too much, which just adds a little bit to the meat and the perspective, the drama of what's going on. This ends the Katsir Sa'arim, which again, our time markers in this Megillah are not months, but harvest season. So we're ending the barley harvest. We're going to move into the threshing harvest as the next parak begins. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.